Mark Barkley here. I call you blessed in the name of Jesus. Welcome to the broadcast today. Whatever media, however it's coming to you, we welcome you. Hope it's a great blessing to you. We've studied hard and we got some good word for you. Listen, we're in the middle of a series, one I've taught again, teaching it now. It's just simply called How to Be an Overcomer. You can get it if you want, it's easy. And it's one of the many things that we are for a short season downloading for free. So when you get this, you may still be in that time span. If not, it's still available to you. And I taught a whole series. I've heard all my lay people say, I'm an overcomer, we should be overcomers. The Bible says He's made us more than overcomers. But what is one? What does it mean? How do you get there? Because I like to win. And I like to win against all odds. And you can when you learn how God said to do it. I'm also praying for you to meet my Christ. A lot of the things we teach are for God's kids. And so invite Him in your life today, sometime during this broadcast. Think about us, pray for us. And anytime you can, send some financial seed, because that helps us bring all this stuff basically free to everybody on the globe. Here we go. It's going to be awesome. I hope you got your Bible because your life is about to be changed. Amen. Isaiah 53, come on. Isaiah 53. Now, while you're turning there, let me introduce my topic and subject and series. I opened a series up last Thursday evening called Overcomers. That's what you are, and your life should prove it. Now, if your life isn't proving it, then that's even more so why you need this series. And we started out just kind of talking about what is an overcomer, how does Jesus give us the victory. You know, we talked about some things along that lines. And then the last session we were together, we talked about discouragement, dismay. What do you do about that? And we talked about inside of every human being are all the elements to be courageous and all the elements to be a coward. And it becomes an inner fortitude choice at that time which one you're going to submit to and go with. You're going to run from the problem. You're going to run and hide. You're going to abandon your fellow troops in the field, or you're going to rise up and run to the enemy and fight your fierce battle, which our Bible calls the good fight of faith. Not a bad fight. It's a good fight. Now, nobody likes to fight. I mean, I did when I was other possessed. But, you know, most people don't like to fight. They don't want a confrontation. Most parents, that's one of their biggest issues, is they don't want to be dealing with their kids all the time. They want to love their kids and bless their kids and hug their kids and have fun with their kids. But sometimes the kids don't quite get that. And then you got to become a parent again, not just a parental fun supplier. Amen. And so tonight I want to teach for a few minutes that we have tonight in my series. I want to talk about how to find freedom from hurt feelings. How do you find freedom from hurt feelings? Because, you know, right now hurt feelings, according to the people who study church attendance globally, here in America, hurt feelings is the number one reason why people resign their posts, leave a church, you know, and it isn't always, sometimes it's about the pastor, sometimes it's about somebody else, you know. I always think of the person who came to me. She's still here, beautiful sister in the Lord. It's beautiful in spirit as well. And she came and said, Brother Barclay, I love you and I love this church, but I am not working in that nursery anymore if Sister so-and-so is going to be in there. I said, why? I'm going to tell you, Pastor, that woman rubs me the wrong way. And I said, you're kidding me. I'll deal with her immediately. And she goes, well, thank you. And I said, and then I'll deal with you, because it's too bad she rubbed you the wrong way, but it's even worse that you can be rubbed. See, neither one's right. Arrogance, which is the number one cause of hurt feelings, personal pride. In fact, one time years ago when I was having a hurt feeling issue, it ran pretty deep, it cut pretty deep. The Lord showed up in my prayer time when I was really trying to get Him on my side, and the Lord said this to me, all hurt feelings are is a violation of your personal pride. Dr. Lester Summerall, one of my dads now in heaven, but Dr. Summerall, I called him one time and I said, Brother Summerall, this is back in the early 80s, just pioneering this church. I said, these people just turned on me and I don't get it. I love them. I mean, if they want to go to church somewhere else, then people do that. I understand. But all of a sudden, I'm the bad guy and they curse me and now they're talking against me. And he said, and that bothers you? And I said, well, I will be straight honest with you. Yeah. I said, I don't know if I'm really hurt about it, but I'm not happy about it. And he said, you know what your problem is? I almost said, yeah, those people. He said, your problem is you're thinking like a guy that's not dead. I said, pardon me? He said, dead men don't have feelings, son. If you died to Christ and your flesh is dead and you live unto Christ, you'll never be offended again or hurt feeling the rest of your entire life. All it is that you got back into the flesh and you think you're somebody and somebody did something and now instead of giving it to Jesus Christ, you're going to bear it yourself. He said, why don't you just go back and start thinking like a dead man again and live in Christ and leave people alone. I hung up the phone. He almost offended me. I hung up the phone and said, this is what I said to myself. I'm never calling that guy again. I called for help. I'm not the guy gossiping about. I didn't hurt those people. They're going, and I'm thinking, and he didn't really side with them, but he surely didn't side with me. And then he told me I was just arrogant and prideful. I called to be held and cuddled. And all I got was, you're thinking like a man who's alive. Shame on you. You're dead in Christ. You have no feelings. What's your problem? Get back to work. Well, thank you, Dr. Summerall. I think I'll call Dr. somebody else in the future. Praise God. Always remember this. Now, I'm going to get to my verse here, but always remember this. Okay, I'm telling you this. That's the second time I said it. Here's three. Always remember this. Always remember that you and you alone are the steward over your own feelings, nobody else. You're the steward over your own feelings. Someone else may be the one who violated you or offended you or trespassed you, but you're the one who took offense to it. So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't caught on yet, the idea in this life, and that's why I'm teaching, what do you do about hurt feelings? The idea of this life is to not manage your environment. It's not manage, manipulate, organize, change everybody around you and run all of your life from place to place, trying to find a place that treats you the way you want to be treated. Or change, or have friends who all they do is salute you. They never disagree with you, because then you get rid of them, you have another set of friends. That's not the idea of life. The idea of life is no matter what atmosphere you're in, rough or not, friends or critics, the idea of life is you're not getting in here. Jesus Christ got in here. Amen. And I'm going to guard my heart because out of it flow the issues of life. Amen? Amen. Are you getting it? You understand what I'm saying to you? Everybody's got feelings, man. There's no robots, not if you're breathing air. Nobody, I don't know a person that doesn't want to be accepted, loved, popular, that your friends think you're good or cool or you fit in or they want to be around you. Or I don't know, I've never met a human being that just wants to be the guy that nobody likes. We all got feelings. But you can manage your feelings. You can't, wait a minute, hang on. You can't help but have feelings because God gave them to you. It's part of you. You're a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Okay? There's all kinds of attributes and issues and such to define your spirit, you the spirit man. There's all kinds to define your body and what it wants and what it does for you. You know, right down to the natural. But the soul is made up of your volition, your willpower. You get to decide. Even serving God. A lot of you come out to study with me tonight on a midweek service. It's good to see you, by the way. But you get to decide whether you go to church or not, love God or not, present the tithe or not, forgive your brother or not. That's not their decision. That's your decision. Amen. And so we have to understand that we're the steward of that. Not everybody around us. Well, I could harp on that. I guess I better move on. But, you know, you got feelings because part of your soul is it's your intellect. It's your ability to reason and decide. It's your library. God gave you a library. The computers that you use every day and your smartphones, that idea didn't fly through the sky. Humans took God's creative library and ability to store and recall, and store and recall, and quick response and long-term memory and short-term memory, and they duplicated God's creation and put it in equipment and made it better and faster and faster and better and store more and more and more and recall quicker and quicker and quicker. But that's all God's creation. That's you. And then inside of here is your flavors. Inside of your soul, that's your emotions. Part of your emotions is called your feelings. Now, feelings don't just mean you touched me and I felt it. Feelings has to do with your interpreter. How are you interpreting? And now, wait a minute. If you're living as a living being and not dead unto Christ, then you have to digest everything. Not just what someone said to you, but in what tone of face did they say it? What was their facial expression? What was their voice? You know, what was their posture? Was it aggressive? Was it sweet? You know, and now you almost have to be a private eye, you know, an investigator and an interrogator to, well, did he really mean that, what he just said? Because all of that has to do with your feelings about that person, what they said, how they said it to you, or what you think they meant. You know how many people in my lifetime have said, Brother Barclay, you said this or you did this towards me and it offended me? And many, many times, I seldom defend myself. If you know me, I'll say, I'm really sorry about that, man. I didn't even realize I did that. I certainly wouldn't. I'm too busy to take, you know, pop shots at you, not picking on you personally, you know. And I ask you to forgive me right now. Amen. Amen. But it always bothers me when someone comes back and I say, I didn't mean to do that. I'm really sorry. Oh, you did too. Okay, now wait a minute. I don't mind you telling me what's in your heart of what I may have offended or touched your feelings. Or I don't mind you explaining to me what's in your heart. But don't be playing God and trying to tell me what my motives were. And same with each other. You don't have a right when someone says, hey, I've come to repent and I'm sorry. Well, No. You don't mean that. You meant to do that. You're just trying to get out of it. Whoa. You're going to break a Bible hedge. And what happens to you? A serpent shall bite you. Praise God. Mark Barclay here. Listen, I got some free things for you. No strings attached. I promise you that. It's just that me, my family, and team are praying for you to get through this tough time. Here's one, how to be an overcomer. How about this, end time insights. This is a great one, warring God's way, God's style. The powerful healing of Jesus Christ in His blood. How about how to fight end time enemies and warring mental warfare. They're all free, at least for a short season. Jump on the web bookstore and download them. And give them to everybody you know. There's several messages on every one of these. If you want the physical drive, you know, with the packaging and all, you can get it for 50% off for a short season. I call you healed and strong. You keep studying. The Word of God is everything. Amen. Amen. All right, here's my verse now. That was all introduction. They should not have given me those 3.5 Cuban coffees before I come out here tonight. This is like high octane preacher tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's read some verses. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our, tell me. Okay. Griefs or inner pain or and carried our. Pardon me. Griefs. And sorrows. griefs, and sorrows. This is talking about inside you. What? This is talking about Jesus Christ, my friend, and what he did for you and me on the cross. Yes, there's bodily healing in the atonement. Yes, by his stripes we are bodily healed. But this said, he also bore our griefs and our sorrows. Griefs means losses and what you feel about it. Amen. Loss doesn't just mean somebody died. Loss means maybe somebody divorced you. Maybe somebody left you for another. Amen. Maybe you got abandoned. Maybe they quit you and went to work for your competitor. Maybe they quit the church and went to church somewhere else. There's a lot of griefs where you've lost somebody that you love and you can't do much to get them back. But you can turn to Jesus Christ, because part of the anointing of his sacrifice on Calvary, praise God, is that he bore this. That means he paid the price. You know what that means? The medicine is free. The medicine's available. We don't have to wait for a pharmaceutical company to produce enough of it. This is a supernatural medicine that no matter what your griefs are, whether you lost a loved one, lost friends to death, or just lost them to something else, you know, divorce or decay or deterioration of friendships, God Almighty already paid the price to heal your feelings about what you're feeling about losing that friendship or that person in your life. Praise God. Amen. And look at this. And he carried our sorrows. I don't think I have to spend much time teaching about sorrows. Everybody knows what it feels like to feel sorry or to feel sorry for yourself. Or feel sorry for what you might have said or done to somebody else, and with everything in you would like to fix it, retract those words or actions. Praise God. But I'm telling you that this is telling you, that God is telling you that you can go to God no matter what sorrows, no matter what's made you sorry or feel sorry. You can go to God and he already paid the price. It's under the anointing. It's as strong as your salvation. It's as strong as divine healing for your body. This is all in the same package. Isn't it something that before he says this, verse 4b, yet you did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, for he was wounded for your transgressions, that's your sins, against the word of God. And he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Before God tells you and me about having our body healed, he talks about your feelings, your griefs and your sorrows. Why? Well, God knows that if you carry this unforgiveness, if you carry this bitterness, if you carry these bad feelings inside of you, they will turn. I can't teach on this tonight, but I will for the series done. This thing will grow roots. It will grow roots inside of your soul. Your feelings will grow roots. And eventually it's called a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness is going to really defile your life. It presents a bile that runs through your thinking processes, that if someone even says the name, if someone even says, hey, do you know that bitterness presents, it's like that bile starts rising in you. You can see it in a guy's face or eyes or a woman's face. I know that guy. Let me tell you about that guy. Or you got to bite your lip not to tell him about that guy. Depends on what condition your mouth is, whether you spew it out or not. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. All right. Next verse, Galatians chapter 5. Come on, go quickly. Galatians chapter 5, praise God. Say amen. Amen. Say, my Jesus healed me, even in my feelings. Galatians 5, verse 7. When you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say, wait a minute. All right, hurry up. Verse 7. You did, I'm going to read slow on purpose so you don't miss nothing. You, say me. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Amen. Does anybody have a modern version? You'll discover in a couple of the modern versions, it said, you were doing so well. Who was it that stopped you from obeying all of the truth? You were on course to obey all of the truth. Now, who stopped you? Almost every version of the Bible, and there's a couple of the modern verses says what, but almost every version of this Bible uses the who word. Not what stopped you, who stopped you. It's always a who. If it's not a human who, it's a spirit, demon who. But it's always somebody. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible says this clearly, book of Corinthians. It says, do not be deceived. That's a pretty good start, isn't it? Being God speaking. Do not be deceived. Bad company, I'm quoting it, corrupts, you know the verse? Yep. Good morals. Now, I could tell you, you could tell me, but I could tell you straight out that anybody who starts living contrary to this book started living contrary to this book because of somebody else around them. A friend, a relative, somebody you work with, somebody on the internet, television, that begin to give you liberties that you call liberties that this doesn't say you can have. 99% of the time, there's that freak time when someone just blows it on their own. But 99% of the time, every time a Christian gets contrary to this book, it's because of someone in their life persuading them, we can get away with this, we can do this, I know somebody that did it and they're happy, you know, and then here we go. And before you know it, you're breaking hedges. And what happens when you break a hedge in the spirit realm? A serpent, that's a demon. A demon will bite you. Now, you know, if you went to a doctor, a specialist, many of them, before they ever get the lab reports back, they pretty much, on certain items, can just tell you what it is. Now, all combat people know this, but when I was a young Marine in the combat zone of Vietnam, we dealt with everything. It's a jungle, it's a mountain, it's a valley, it's a delta, it's a riverbed. And you name it, man. We had tarantulas hitchhike with us, and we had, you know, snakes sleep with us, and then vipers tried to. You know, you get rid of the snake, but you kill the viper, you know, the snake that can kill you. Or the spiders. And on and on and on. And those doctors were so combat trained, they could look at your hand or arm and tell you almost what kind of snake or what kind of insect or what kind of spider bit you. They hadn't even done the blood yet. They can just tell by the size, the swelling, you know, what are the symptoms? You have a fever, don't you? From the venom that went inside of you. Still with me?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I wonder why God's people think that God is so stupid. I do. I'm sorry. I don't think God's stupid. But I've been running with God's people, including a lot of people that don't go to this church, of course. But I've been running with a lot of God's people pretty much more of my life now than the years I didn't serve God. And it just shocks me at how many people think that God is so stupid He would hire, draft, cut in on, and change a guy's life like mine or one of these other pastors to take care of you. But God is so stupid, He can't ever reveal anything to me. I can't be an expert at serpent bites like the doctor can, they say, but I can. And if you pastor long enough, I can tell you almost from the initial symptoms without going to the lab yet. What you've been into, what you're listening to, and you got some friend on the side, and before you know it, you're picking up habits and you're picking up attitudes. Those aren't just you, honey. Those aren't you. That's not just you diverting to the old flesh, getting your own. No, I can almost tell you. Just like that field surgeon or that corpsman even in the field, that's a Navy medical person that traveled with Marines, thus called corpsman. And that corpsman could almost look and say, well, this is the problem. That corpsman, he was so combat trained and had been in combat so long that corpsman could look at a wound on a human body, a Marine, and almost shake his head yes or no to me. He's going to make it. He's not going to make it. See, he can almost tell. He's not even in a hospital. He doesn't even have an x-ray machine. That's my point. Why do you think God is so ignorant and so stupid that he would put a leader in your life and then tell that leader nothing about you, and that for 30, 40 years, that pastor has learned nothing about taking care of God's people, protecting the flock, keeping you away from serpent bites and away from sin? Oh, come on. You don't have to respect me, but surely you can be smarter than that about God. Can I have a better amen, please? Let's give God a little bit more credit than that. Amen. Amen. So who was it that cut in on you? We're not in the beginning of the last days. We're in the last of the last days. You're blessed to have this book. You're blessed to have this insight. You're blessed to have this forewarning. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Ha! Guess who wins? Man, I like church. I like preaching and teaching the word of God. I even like you. Praise God. Thank God for you, God's people. Listen, when we started this, I was telling you that this USB drive is available to you. This series, there's several messages on here, not just one, about becoming an overcomer. That's what I'm dealing with right now, is trying to teach people. You can win. You will win. It's God's will for you to win. This is not just a pep talk. Scripture after scripture after scripture. Bible story after Bible story teaches us how God always wins. His kids always come out on top, and no matter what battle you and I are facing right now, praise God, this is what it's all about, winning and not losing, standing up and not staying down. So get this series, get on the website, bookstore, call us, email, there's all kinds of ways. We want you to have it, how to be an overcomer. If you don't know my Jesus, invite him into your life right now. Most everything we teach will not work for people that don't know Christ. So just say, Lord, come live in me and make me a Christian. And then you call us and we're going to tell you how to live your best life now. I promise you that. See you on the next broadcast. Send an offering and pray for us in Jesus' name.